You know, speaking of when I was a student, we're talking about the distant past. And so what better way to segue into Tom's History Corner? And this week, I want to talk about the early days of women at UConn.
Oh, fun topic.
This was prompted by a student who approached me to, there's a journalism class doing a project where they're doing like obituaries on lesser known UConn figures.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
And she wanted to talk about Mildred French, who was the dean of women here in the, from the 20s to the 50s.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay. But then I started reading about the history of women even before Mildred French, and I got very interested. So I'm going to present my findings.
Yay!
I do know it goes back to the very early days of
It does. So
university.
The institution was founded in 1881, and there were no women in that first decade.
Wow.
It was legally a male-only institution
until
1893, when the state legislature passed a law allowing women. However, women had been attending for 2 years prior to that because President Benjamin Coombs was a product of a then pioneering co-educational program at Oberlin. And he's like, well, there's no reason that men and women shouldn't go to college together.
Good for Coombs.
So the first two women to attend class at what would become UConn were Nellie Wilson and Louise Rose Brooks.
Oh, those are, I lived in Wilson Hall, I believe, in South.
And they were also the first commuter students because there was no facilities on campus for them. So they just walked from Mansfield where they lived.
Okay.
But once the legislature said, okay, women can attend what was then called Storrs Agricultural College, they built a dorm for women called Grove Cottage in 1896, and it burned down in 1919. Ugh. That's kind of the history of wood buildings in New England generally.
Right.
They all burned down sooner or later. But now, so in the early years at Grove Cottage, the women students lived there with not a faculty member,
like
I guess.
Like a house mother?
Her title was Lady Principal.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And
remember the times. Remember the times.
Yes. Very different.
The regimen was strict. They had a 6 p.m. curfew.
Ouch. Did they have to eat dinner together and stuff?
They did have to eat dinner together.
Okay. I think in modern times, but if I lived back then, it would be kind of cool to live in a place like that, especially called Grove Cottage.
Grove Cottage.
Pretty.
They were also forbidden by the first lady principal to attend dances.
Oh.
So dances were held at the Congregational Church, and it would be male students from UConn and then local women, but the women at Grove Cottage could not attend, and they were apparently very unhappy
about this. That's really sad. And
their main
strange form
of social life was a once-a-month reception at Grove Cottage, where they would invite male students.
So they could invite the males into their home, but they couldn't go.
Well, because under the watchful eye of the lady principal.
Why didn't the lady principal just chaperone the dance?
She probably thought music was satanic or something.
I mean, this was
1890s.
Aye.
In an 1899 essay written by a female student, the essay was called "For What Does Storrs Fit the Young Lady?" She opined that even though women earned the same bachelor's degrees as men, quote, "I do not think we are fitted to be agriculturists. SAC fits the boys for farmers and the girls for farmers' wives." However, that was not the opinion of everyone, and a year after that, in 1900, the first woman student body president was elected.
So was she saying that they were only preparing them to be farmers' wives, or?
No, she was saying that it was sort of like pointless to go through all the rigmarole of getting a bachelor's.
She couldn't even do anything.
Yeah, it's like the old,
I guess these folks didn't go past the Mississippi River to the west with the Conestoga wagons and read their history books.
They did not. So things were changing by 1900 when the first woman was elected student body president.
And progressive.
I found an essay by, I think it was the first student body president. The Lookout newspaper, which is the predecessor of the Daily Campus, it's not what we'd consider sort of newspaper format by the 1890s. It's kind of like a weird collection of rambling. But there's an essay by a student named Lena Eliza Latimer, class of 1900, and she wrote a little essay about what it was like to be a female student at UConn. I won't read the whole thing, but it's very interesting. And so she talked about the class schedule, and how at the end of the day they ate together, and then it was mostly work. But she wrote, "But soon we find that our life here is a happy one. Do not for one moment think we have no fun. We have a gymnasium, and our physical culture is not a trial but a pleasure to us. Then what else need we do from 4 o'clock until supper time but go for a walk, take a book from the library and read, have a song, or go into one of the other girls' rooms and have a good chat?"
Oh, that sounds positively lovely.
"One cannot find her work dreary and her life altogether unhappy with all these pleasures to brighten it up."
See, UConn's always been fun. I had something to say about, oh, Mildred P. French. So I interviewed this awesome guy who lives in West Hartford, Bernie Matlaw, who attended UConn in the 40s. And he told me about, which I need to go see if I can find at the archives, the handbook for women that Mildred P. French would hand out every year. And she had such great advice to female students as not wearing patent leather shoes because they reflect. And when the women would take cabs with their male friends down to Willimantic for fun, they had to put a newspaper down before they would sit on the man's lap. This is anecdotal. I haven't seen it, but...